Hey everybody. I think most of you know me, some may not. My name is Angel, and I'm definitely not usually the person up here. So I am okay talking in front of people, but I usually have like a PowerPoint or something I'm demonstrating and some slides. So it's very different, so just bear with me. So like a month or so ago, Melissa asked me to preach, and she gave me a few days of options, and I looked at my calendar and said October 7th works. And then, after I said yes, I actually looked at the scripture and realized today was the Ten Commandments. And I was like, huh, well, I haven't thought about those in a long time, just being honest. So this is going to be interesting, but it'll be a good opportunity for me to do some reflecting and thinking, and we'll see how it goes. And then Melissa told me it was also World Communion Sunday. And I was like, how in the world am I going to combine the Ten Commandments with World Communion Sunday? In my mind, they didn't really go together. Maybe all of you guys are a lot smarter than me and have thought about this a lot more. But to be really honest, I haven't thought about the Ten Commandments in a really long time. To me, when I think about the Ten Commandments, I think about learning the Ten Commandments with my great-grandmother. She sat us all down, all 22 grandchildren of us, and we learned the Lord's Prayer and the Ten Commandments. And then I learned the Ten Commandments in Sunday school. And that's really kind of my memories of the Ten Commandments. And the Lord's Prayer was really important to me and is still really important to me, and it's kind of a guiding principle in my life, which is funny because the Ten Commandments aren't something I think about. But then once I started thinking about the actual Ten Commandments, I realized that they're pretty great for World Communion Sunday. I'm not like a theologian or read a whole lot, but when I think about texts that are biblical texts that are also kind of like a guiding principle for our lives, I can't think of anything other than the Ten Commandments that more than 50% of the world's population shares. If we think about the Ten Commandments, we know that Islam, Jews, Judaism, and Christianity all share them, which is around 3.7 billion people right now, which is pretty incredible. And so if we all share the Ten Commandments, like, what do they mean to us? And that's kind of what I want to talk about today. I think if they are supposed to be a sort of like moral compass or guide for our lives, what do they mean to our society today? So I started by polling some of my friends, because, you know, when you're thinking about religion, that's the first place you go. And so I asked some of my friends, like, I asked a lot of them, did you guys learn the Ten Commandments as a kid? And pretty much every single person I asked said yes, absolutely. I learned the Ten Commandments in Sunday school, or my parents, or somebody. And then I asked them, well, can you remember all 10 of them? And that was a little funnier because everybody started naming off, like, thou shalt not kill, honor your mother and your father, don't commit adultery. And like we got to 5 or 6 and like not a single one of my friends could name all 10. And then I asked them, well, okay, what do they mean to you? And a lot of people were kind of surprised by this question. Well, what do you mean? Like, they mean what they say. But I was like, well, what does that mean today, like, to our lives? And they were like, it's like a compass, a moral guide for our lives. And I was like, okay, like, that makes sense. That's kind of what I think in my own words. But what kind of moral guide is this, or like compass for our lives, if we can't even remember them? And like, if we can't even remember them, and I have some pretty like smart friends, and but if they can't even remember them, how relevant are they today? So I decided, well, like, if I'm going to talk about this, I should think about it. And I started thinking about the context of the Ten Commandments and how God had just called Moses to deliver the Israelites from Egypt. And the Ten Commandments were written to be a covenant between God and the Israelites, and a way for the Israelites to live a different life, and a life that's like would bring them closer to God. And one of the reasons why he wrote, why we have the Ten Commandments, I think, is that because God wanted the Israelites to be his messengers of love for all of humanity. And so if I think about the context of today and our globalized society, what would this covenant look like today? And what would set us apart as followers of Christ and messengers of love? And maybe I'm just a little naive or behind, but I think they might look a little bit different. And so that's kind of what I just want to talk about today, is my own personal reflections of thinking through these, some of these Ten Commandments. I'm not going to go through all ten, because we don't want to be here all day. And thinking about, like, how are they relevant to our lives? This is very definitely not what I thought today's sermon was going to look like, so it's really just sharing some of my thoughts about these Ten Commandments. When I was a little kid, the first commandment I learned was honor thy mother and father. And I would say most of us probably learned that first. I'm sure it was very intentional that in Sunday school that was the first commandment we learned. But what does that like mean today when I live so far from my parents? You know, I just saw them this past week. I may not see them for another month. And I would say most people aren't that different. And so I started thinking, like, well, if I call God creator, it also means I think call God mother and father. And I think this commandment, like, honor your mother and father, maybe we need to expand it and think about, like, honor your family. And thinking, and for me, that means that, like, if I call God mother and father, that all of humanity are my family. And so I'm just kind of, like, rethinking about this commandment, maybe not rewriting it, but to me it means that, like, I'm a part of a family that's here in Raleigh, that's here in the mountains, that's in El Salvador, and places I haven't even imagined yet. And it also means, like, I'm a part of a family where my brothers and sisters are suffering. Some of them are starving. Some of them are being bombed. A lot of things I can't even imagine yet. And so I think that that commandment, maybe just, what does it mean to honor my family? And I don't know the answer to that, but it's just something to think about. So then the next commandment, I was like, well, I don't know where to go from there, but I think it's kind of rethinking about how I look at the world. But then the next commandment that stands out to me, and the first one that pretty much all of my friends named off, was thou shalt not kill. Which, like, seems pretty straightforward to me. And honestly, growing up, I thought this was a commandment I would never struggle with, never be tempted with. But like everything else in life, it seems to have gotten a lot more complicated. And now when I think about this commandment, I think of Romero. And if you don't know about Romero, I would recommend reading about him. He's a priest in El Salvador that's actually going to be canonized very soon. And I love some of his sermons and talks. And he often said in almost all of his sermons, speeches, that God's commandment not to kill makes all of life sacred, which makes it a lot more difficult commandment to me. But I think if these commandments are meant to help us, like, stand apart and live a life that's closer to God, I think it's probably a pretty essential commandment. So if I think about it today, it might sound something like honor all of life, which, like, what does that mean? What does honoring life, all of life, mean? And what I think about is, like, I think about the children stuck at the border in tents right now. And I wonder if we're honoring their lives. Are we honoring them as children of God? And then, like, taking it in a very different direction, I also think about this commandment when I go shopping. Recently, I went to a Target. I needed, like, a simple, cheap black shirt for an event. I just needed something underneath the sweater, black, in and out. And I picked up a shirt, and the tag said, made in El Salvador. And I couldn't buy it. Because I know women and teenagers and children even that work in the sweatshops in El Salvador. I think about my family in El Salvador, Ricardo, Marielos, Alicia, you know, that's my family. And I think about the little girl there on the right, and don't want her to work in one of those sweatshops. But I know that that is a likelihood. And so when I think I see Made in El Salvador, I think about them. And I wonder if I'm honoring the woman who made that shirt by buying it. And I know that buying that shirt is not honoring her. And so I didn't buy it. Sadly, I bought a shirt made in China. And that I don't think that makes it any better. But I just don't have the same faces in the stories from China. And it was easier. And sadly, Target didn't give me the option for a fair trade shirt. And I don't know what I would have done if there was like a 3 times as expensive fair trade shirt. But I do know that the Chinese woman who made that shirt is a part of my family. And I want to think about how I can honor her. And now when I wear that shirt, I say a small prayer for all the women and all the hands who touched it. And I don't think that's like changing the world, but it's something. But I want to do more. I want to think about, in my daily life, how I'm honoring the lives of the people who made the things I'm wearing, who made the people, everyone I come in contact, am I honoring that life? Because I think that that's what the Ten Commandments are really all about, is like changing the way we live our daily lives. I mean, can we imagine the world if 3.7 billion people actually lived like all of life was sacred? I have no idea what that would look like. But it would be different. And so then the last commandment that I wanted to talk about is also a different one, and that is, you shall not make for yourself any idols. And again, as a kid, I thought, like, I was imagining myself, like, worshiping my sports trophies. And I was like, well, that's not going to happen. Like, or I imagined, like, melting down all my jewelry and turning it into a cross. And I was like, I would never want to do that. But when I started thinking about this commandment today and how something like making an idols or not making idols or not having idols would change my life. I think about idols in a much broader way. I think about actually El Salvador and my life there. And it dawned on me that anything I love more than God is an idol. And Mother Teresa said, in the poor, we meet Jesus in his most distressing disguises. And I met Jesus and all my brothers and sisters in El Salvador. And I think anything that I would love more than one of them is an idol. And you know, I used to think that that would never happen. I used to think about me as like a pretty frugal, simple person that wasn't really attached to earthly possessions. I changed a little bit in my thoughts, and so you're probably asking, like, how does this kind of relate to idols? And I never imagined something as simple as a comb could be an idol. Some of you might have heard this story. But when I was living in El Salvador, I began to think about a comb as something that could be a luxury. And like, so when I lived in, first time I was in El Salvador, I lived with a family that had 9 kids. And all 9 of those kids shared one broken comb. It was like this big. You know, think about 9 kids, half of them girls with long hair, like picking out all the tangles. And I had my own comb and a brush. And those kids asked to borrow my comb and my brush every single day. And I didn't say yes. It took me a long time to say yes. Because once a week, I saw them pick lice out of their hair. And I didn't I didn't want to share my comb. And I thought about the rich young ruler in Luke, who Jesus told, sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And then that ruler walked away sad because he couldn't do it. And I couldn't even give up a comb. You know, I did. I did eventually. But it took me a couple weeks to say, here, take it, use it whenever you want. And that, I think that experience kind of changed the way I think about idols. Like, that comb became an idol to me, and how anything in my daily life can become an idol. So, you know, I just talked about three commandments today. There's 10 of them, and I hope that maybe we can all start to think about the 10 commandments and what they might look like for us as individuals, as a society, as a global community, and think about them a little bit differently. I'll be the first to admit that I'm not a religious scholar or a theologian, and these are just my own interpretations of a few of these commandments, three of them, and they're totally influenced by my own life experiences. And like, imagine if we all kind of shared some of our life experiences and reinterpreted them together. Because I do think the Ten Commandments are so relevant now that I've been thinking. Like, I want to rethink about them and find something that becomes a new covenant between us and God, and that calls us to be actually live life that's closer to God, where we can actually be messengers of love in today's society. So, thank you.